Now, if you could only see yourselves as I see you, you'd really rejoice, and you are rejoicing that we are this very fine crowd standing and singing out that wonderful hymn, Complete in the Eye Trust, that really is the language of each heart here tonight. Now, I'm going to do something I very seldom do in a meeting. I want all those who were saved before they were 15 years of age to rise to their feet. Keep standing. Those between 15 and 25. Praise the Lord. And those between 25 and 40. Anyone saved after 40 years of age will be pleased with eyes. Now the majority in this group tonight were saved between 15 and 25, and only 5 after 40 years. Maybe someone who's never yet trusted Jesus Christ, I trust is going to be the very night when you take a definite stand on His side. God bless you, and just be seated. Now I don't know who kept sitting, whether you probably noticed we gave like our dear brother Perry as to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus, but I trust the result of his testimony and the word the Lord laid upon our heart, you too will take that definite stand and come out and say, whatever the cost, it's Christ for me. Right, Olin, let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We finished there this morning, we're going to go back to it. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Remember, we're still dealing with the theme, what is a Christian? We found the Christian is a child of God. Christian is an heir of God. He is redeemed by precious blood. He is an influence, and this morning we started, he is a soldier. Tomorrow night I want to speak on the Christian as a temple. Now it's a very important message, probably the most important theme of the whole series is the Christian as a temple, and that will be tomorrow night, God willing. Be much in prayer regarding the meeting now, dear child of God. The one sitting next to you may not know you, Lord Jesus. Let us pray God will touch his or her heart as we're going on now, and be much in prayer regarding the meetings as we go on throughout the week. Remember that we found the Christian is one who is selected. All men and women are not in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only those who have been selected by God's matchless grace, cleansed by his precious blood. And in this particular scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we find they were brought from every tribe and nation. A great variety of people were among those who took sides on the side of David. And we want you tonight to come into living vital union with great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They came from every tribe, they came from every nation, and that's what God's doing tonight. Acts chapter 15 says, he's gathering up from among the nations a people for his name, a bride for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for all here tonight, and know the joy of having been brought upon by the Holy Spirit and selected and separated unto great David, greater son. With that before you then, we find not only is the soldier selected, but he is obedient. He is obedient, and we finish now with the letter L. The Christian is loyal. He's manifested by loyalty. And here in verse 18 of the chapter before us, these dear men come and say, thine are we, David, and on thy side. Isn't that lovely? Thine are we, David, and on thy side. Those who were not on the side of David were on the side of the enemy. You're the usurper. And tonight I say lovingly, yet sincerely, with all my heart, if you're not on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ and owning Him as your Lord and Savior, allowing Him to have complete sway in your life, then tonight you're on the side of the enemy and you're on a defeated side. My friend, you're serving a defeated master. The man we read from Matthew chapter 6 this morning, we cannot serve two masters. We're going to hate the one and love the other, love the one and hate the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. So I trust that none of you have to realize that you're on the wrong side, you're on the enemy's side, you're on the side which is defeated. You'll change masters tonight, and you'll come right out triumphantly and say, why is Christ for me? I am thine, O Lord, and on thy side. Now I am going all the way with thee, Lord Jesus. Now you can't do that in your own strength. We're going to see that tonight from God's holy word. We cannot do that in our own strength. My friend, we must come to recognize now the very spirit of our Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus. He comes into your life and my life. And what we can do by ourselves, thank God, He by His Spirit can energize us and give us the grace to go all the way. Remember Christ said in John chapter 15, without me ye can do nothing. Yet Paul could say, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who poureth His strength through me. And so the importance tonight of recognizing the fact that the Spirit of Christ indwells you and indwells me. Now listen, you cannot live the Christian life, neither can I. Now I'm not trying to live the Christian life, but thank God He by His Spirit Christ is living that life in me. He's living His life in you, if you receive Him into your heart. Maybe someone's saying here this evening, I would be saved. I ought to listen to John's testimony and be the testimony he's already given. But somehow that I know I could not live that life. No, neither could I. Neither can you. But my friend, the Christian life is Christ in you. And there's only one life that wins. It's the Christ life. And when from your very heart you say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, I own as my Lord and Savior, then you can sing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, have you been wise unto salvation? Have you opened your heart to the Son of God's love? If not, be God, give you grace to do so on this Lord's Day evening. Let's go down now to the next letter, letter D. And as a soldier, dangers have to be faced. There are dangers to be faced. Now the Christian life, I said a moment ago, a soldier in the arm of the Lord Jesus is not a picnic. Oh no, we are not chocolate soldiers, not tin soldiers. We're men and women who are very much alive. And we're alive unto God by the Spirit who indwells us tonight. Now here at a Park of the Palms, these beautiful surroundings, everything so congenial and conducive to spiritual life and spirituality, everything so restful and given toward a relaxation. The food, the fellowship, the fun are all excellent. It's wonderful. But now this is a nice little picnic. But my friend, is not to see as a picnic. Remember the Lord saved us that we might go on the offensive. I think we Christians are too much on the defensive. But He wants us to get on the offensive, doesn't He now? And there are dangers to be faced. Remember when the Lord Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now the Lord Jesus is not referring to the fact that hell is attacking the church. Oh, that's not the picture at all. It's the other way around. The church is militant. The church is on the offensive. And the church is attacking the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. They'll melt, my friend, before the onslaught of a united front, energized by the indwelling Spirit and been controlled by the risen Lord, the captain of our salvation. So may we be a people, recognize the joy of taking the battle over into enemy territory. I think, you know, we're wonderful people, and wonderful God has done for us and doing in us, but it's not enough. We've got to get on the march. We've got to get on the move. And we've got to carry the battle over into enemy territory. Or the devil may say to you, oh, you cannot do here in this area. Those people are getting on in years now, and their convictions are set, their minds are made up. My friend, listen, you've got the indwelling Spirit, and He that is in you is greater than those that are without you. As you go forward in the energy of that Spirit, it's amazing how you'll see, my friend, those stubborn wills broken down and becoming submissive to the authority of Jesus Christ. Hearts being steeled against them will be opened by the compelling, constraining love of our adorable Lord Jesus. I believe the Lord is challenging your heart and my heart as His beloved people to get on the march, to get moving. And my friend, there are dangers to be faced. I want to give you two pictures, and I want you to open your Bible. So, first of all, return to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel and the 23rd chapter. Now here we have David. And David in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel and verse number 15 says, now I'm going to read 15 through 17. David longed and said, oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, and drew water out of the wells of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of the line? Whereof, he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. Now David longed for the waters from the wells of Bethlehem. And those three mighty men put the lines in jeopardy, and they went in danger to themselves. And my friend, they went full into enemy territory, and they went right through, and they brought back the water. And notice what David said, shall I drink the blood of these men? He's referring to the water. And my friend, those people have put their lives in jeopardy for the love for their king, in love for David. I wonder, we who profess to know great David's greater son, we have said, thine are we, David, on thy side. He's longing, my friend, tonight for men and women to turn to the Savior. And are we willing to put our lives in jeopardy and go into enemy territory? And my friend, bring back souls, precious souls, and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we willing for this? Or there's something more. Go to Acts chapter 15, will you, for a moment. Acts in the 15th chapter, and read verse number 26. Acts 15, and verse number 26. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's Barnabas and Saul, and these men hazarded their lives for the sake and for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, if you could train through 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and just see what Paul went through for the sake of the name, and yet he rejoiced and he counted worthy of the suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him it was a great honor, it was a great privilege, even, my friend, to suffer for the name. For we remember this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 2 that if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we suffer with him, we shall be glorified together. And Paul said the sufferings of this little while are nothing to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, dear child of God, if you're living in the energy of the Spirit of God, certainly there are dangers to be faced. But listen, those men who hazarded their lives, those men who put their lives in jeopardy for the sake of David, and now great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, my friend, listen, if we suffer with him, if we're willing to go outside the camp unto him and identify ourselves with him and bear reproach for the name of our adorable Lord Jesus, in that coming day, we're going to reign with him. We're going to reign with him. I believe every Christian will be in the Father's house. I believe that by God's matchless grace we'll all be there. But not for one moment do I believe every Christian is going to reign with Christ. You can't live for self and live for selfish interests and live for the world and think you're going to reign with Christ in the coming day. Oh no. My friend, our God's not unjust. Our God is not unrighteous. And in the measure, my friend, which we're suffering with him here now, I don't mean a backache, a rheumatic pain, a toothache. Oh no, I know he's touched the feelings of all such. Oh, how true. Thank God for unchanging great high priest. But those who are willing to suffer privation and injustice and bear reproach for the name of the Lord Jesus because of their identification with him, then in that coming day we shall reign and we shall be glorified with him. Think again of the scripture looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 12. My friend, all Israel professed to be following David. They all professed to be following David. But David's in exile. David's hiding in the hole. David's hiding in the cave. What happens? 400 men, my friend, took it upon themselves to identify themselves with David, and the result is that David, they separated themselves from the great majority and went up to David. And David said, if you be with me, my heart is knit with thy heart. And they said, thine are we, David, and on thy soul. Those men were willing, my friend, go through hardship and privation and isolation with David. And my friend, David came to the throne. Who did he honor? Those men who identified himself with him when he was in exile. And dear child of God, I urge you, I plead you with my own heart this evening, let us go all the way with our adorable Lord Jesus. No holding back. Remember, dear child of God, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And a soldier, we got to face danger. But we're not facing him in our own strength. Oh, praise God for that. We will melt. What does the Bible say? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And when the enemy would come in like a flood, then the Spirit raises a standard against him. And furthermore, he that is in us is far greater than those that are without us. Now let's go a little further in meditation, shall we? We're thinking here of danger to be faced. Now we go down to 1 Chronicles again, this time chapter 12 and verse number 33. Let the eye in step. The soldier must be in step. That is, he must be able to keep rank. You've all heard the story, haven't you, about the boy who joined the local band. You know, and the very first night he's in the band, they're about marching through the village. And my word, John's mother standing there in the door, watching the band go past, and you know, they're all in step, but there's one other step. You know what the mother said? They're out of step, but our jock. They're all out of state but our Jock. He was the only one out of state, but she was a mother, and they're all out of state but her Jock. Beloved tonight, I want you to get this deep down in your heart. Remember, we must be in step. And we must be able to keep rank. Now, this is very important. See what it says, please, William, in verse number 33. The latter part of the verse, it says there, which could keep rank, they were not of a double heart. They were not of a double heart. My friend, there's one supreme desire in the heart of those dear men. It was that David might be king. That David might be recognized as king and brought back to reign as king. Now please go down to verse number 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart. There was a oneness of heart. My friend, here they were in step. And notice what it says very last phrase now. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart. What to do? To make David king. Their supreme desire. There was a oneness of heart. They were in step. They were keeping rank. Not one, my friend, out of step. And in the desire deep down their heart that David should be king. He shall reign upon the throne. And he shall rule over all Israel. Let me ask you very lovingly, on this particular Sunday evening, is this the desire of your heart? Is this the supreme desire of your life and my life? That Jesus Christ should be sovereign Lord in every compartment and department of our life tonight? Oh, happy is your condition, happy is your state of soul, if that really is the language, that he should be Lord to the glory of God. And the Father, that he shall reign sovereign. Keep that before you and slip over, will you, but do it gently, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I am coming back to 1 Chronicles. See, keep your finger there. Galatians chapter 5, please, and verse number 16. The joy of walking in step, walking in harmony. Say, remember in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now that's very important. See what it says in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. And this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now that is the ordinary walk. The moment by moment, day by day walking. Now go to verse 25. Now this is a different word altogether. Since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The word here is the word a military walk. It means to keep step, to keep in rank. It means walking under orders. A different word. Verse number 16 of the chapter 5 means just the ordinary daily walk. But if we're in the ordinary walk, walking in the Spirit, then my friend, in this very special walk, the military step, stepping in rank, keeping rank, walking under orders. Then go to chapter 66 and verse 16. And as many as are walk according to this rule. Now this means to walk orderly. To walk orderly. Now listen, friend, there's no greater army than the army of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, sometimes I look round, I travel over the world, now I see how the ranks are depleted, how the ranks are divided. Thank God they're still in the flesh, but in God's reckoning, the reckoning of our heavenly Lord and Master Jesus Christ, he sees them one complete whole. He doesn't see them broken up little bits here, little bits there, this little upon that company, that little upon that company. Oh no, all that's obnoxious in his nostrils. He sees one complete whole, one complete golden ball. He sees them all one in Christ Jesus, complete in his beloved Son, walking in the Spirit, walking in rank, walking in step. Oh, what a mighty force we are. May God give us grace to emulate this, see it wrought out in the power of the Spirit in our life day by day, walking orderly, walking in rank, walking in step, walking in the Spirit. My, what a wonderful power we would be for God. Don't you think so? Oh, the wonder of all this. Now go back with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you mean? Just for a minute or two. When I just thought I want to see here, a moment ago I said there are people of great variety, and walking in step, walking in rank, not of a double heart. Oh, I trust tonight there's not one of us here who is professing with a lip to know the Lord Jesus and professing to have given their all to Him and yet we're holding back part. Oh, I trust there's a one, there's a whole heart. And say from your heart, thine are we, David, and on thy son, and we mean it with all sincerity. Now, notice that this is so good. Verse number 8. Verse number 8. Notice these men were men of separation. They were men of quality. Men of quality. And so are the soldiers of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says here. And of the Gathites, there were they separated themselves, notice now, unto David. Into the hold in the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the face of lions, and were as swift as roes upon the mountains. Dear child of God, get this picture. These were men of separation. These were men of strength. These were men of strategy. These were men of sternness. These were men of swiftness. These men, the Gadites, and these were the men who resorted to David. Where there is no separation, there is weakness. When there's complete separation to Him, the Lord Jesus, there's strength, there's quality, there's power. There's something marked up with a sweet smile of His approval. Now go back to verse number 2. We find those men are specially trained, those who are keeping rank. Said in verse number 2 now, and they were armed with bows and could use both right hand and left hand in the hurling of stones and the shooting of arrows out of the bow. Men disciplined, men equipped. And what is it, my friend, equips the child of God today? First of all, the Word of God. The Word of God. In Hebrews 4 verse 12, the Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Then not only is there the Word of God part of the equipment, but there is prayer. Prayer, my friend, is so necessary, the prayer of faith. Oh, we need this, don't we? The Word of God. We've been trying to stress it during these days. The reading of the Scripture. The appropriation of the Scripture to my own heart. Making it my very own. And then the prayer of faith. James 5. 15, 17, and 19 of that same 5th chapter of James. Oh, my friend, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, we know what it means to pray, the prayer of faith. But then furthermore, it says here, they're men of understanding. First of all, they're men of the Word. They're men who know the joy of the prayer of faith. Then they're men of understanding. Verse number 32 of the chapter before says, the men of Issachar were men who had an understanding of the times. And we as God's people who are in the army of Jesus Christ under the complete sway of the captain of our salvation, we too should not be ignorant of the times of which we are now living. And I want to tell you, we're living in the closing moments of this day of grace. My friend, we're living in the closing moments. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is just about to descend to the earth as the bridegroom, take his bride forever with him. Oh, may we come to recognize the importance of this. Men specially trained, men disciplined, men equipped. And then go down, please, William, to verse number 15. The men who counted not the life dear unto themselves, they're men marked by unselfishness. Unselfishness. Those men were selfless men. So should it be in the army of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I trust you're ticking these off in your mind. Ticking them off in your mind. I'm select, obedient, loyal, facing danger, in step, keeping rank. And I'm marked out by separation. I'm marked out by selflessness, unselfishness. I count not my life dear to myself. Oh, my friend, the Christian life is a costly life. It means everything. The entrance fee is nothing. The annals of Scripture is everything. Oh, may God see, I'm not up my friend for decisions. It's the easiest thing not to get decisions, but I'm out for disciples. I'm up for disciples. I want to see men and women, my friend, willing to go all the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not willing, my friend, to do this, then I'll ask you, please don't make any profession at all. Don't make any profession at all. May I say this in passing? The Lord will not be a spare wheel in anyone's life. He must have the steering wheel. A spare wheel is just for an emergency. And I remember there are who want Christ for an emergency. They don't want to go to hell when they die. They want to go to heaven by and by, but in between. And so they make a profession of faith. There's no growth, no development, no going on. And my friends, if they get there at all, they're saved as by the skin of their teeth, saved as by fire. But oh, friend, tonight, if you want to know the thrill and the joy and the power and the purity and, my friend, the wonderful victory that's in Christ Jesus, you must give Him the steering wheel of your life. Are you willing for this? Are you willing to say from your heart, "Are thine are we, David, and on thy side, spirit, soul, body, time, talent, treasure, all thine, David, all thine, Lord Jesus." Am I willing for this? Notice what it says, those men are marked up by unselfishness. Verse number 15. These are they that went over Jordan in the first month when he had overflown his banks, and they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the south. Now these were men of backbone. Men of backbone and grit. Have we got this, my friend? Those men were willing to take the battle over into enemy territory. Think of Daniel. Daniel was faced with the den of lions. No. The lion in the den. My friend, maybe a den without any lions in it. But in David, in the Daniel's case, the lions were there waiting for the prey to fall, waiting for the sweet morsel. But my friend, someone said, he was so full of grit and muscle and bone that he didn't even touch him. My friend, he was pure gold. And God was able to deliver him. Go over the page, will you please? And look down at verse number 21. Those men were men of supernatural strength. Supernatural strength. It says in verse 21, they helped David against the band of robbers, for they were all mighty men of valor. Isn't that lovely? They were all mighty men of valor. Please notice, I repeat, and you go back to verse number 8, what do you find there? They're men of supernatural strength. Verse number 2, they could use both the right hand and the left. Please notice something. To do that, both hands must be emptied of everything else. And both hands must be surrendered. And that's what consecration means. Consecration means a filling of the hands. A filling of the hands. And thank God the Lord did the filling. The Lord did the filling. We dedicate, but He consecrates. Isn't it lovely now? Both hands were at His disposal. Let me I go back again to verse number 21. All mighty men of valor. One with God is a majority. The member said that in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32, verse 30, one could put 10 to flight. My friend, think God and one, they are a majority. David's sling and one little stone with God could bring the great giant down as he went forth in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Gideon and his 300 men plus God could put the great army of the Midians to flight. Yes, my friend, and you plus God. What could we do? This group here, this fine congregation here tonight, thank God for you all. But your life and my life individually, and we collectively hand it over to the control of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 18. Here's the secret of the whole thing. Verse 18. And the Spirit came upon. That's it. Acts 1:8. And ye shall receive power, and the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Oh, my friend, when the Spirit of God is allowed to operate, and God plus, that's the majority. You're in the office. The only Christian, as far as you know, in the office, but you plus God. Peter plus God on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls are saved. Peter plus God in Acts chapter 4. Multitudes believed. And you and I plus God. Oh, friend, what could happen right here in Keystone Heights? What could happen in Jacksonville? What could happen in Gainesville? Oh, we could only recognize in our heart of hearts tonight, looking into that lovely face of our adorable Lord Jesus, that once so during the mass of Calvary's passion, who gave it all for us, and look up and say, thine are we, Lord Jesus, and on thy side. Oh, I know the obstacles to be faced, blots to be erased, blemishes to be removed, testimonies may have been blighted, but you and I, plus God, what a movement is going to take place in Keystone Heights. Something we've never known in the history of the place. And God's waiting for you. He's waiting for me. Are you willing? The soldier. I give the other two letters and I must close. The R, they're engagements. Engagements. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not, my friend, little stones, little swords, bow and arrow, great guns, mighty missiles, matchless bombs. Oh no, my friend, ours are that which are spiritual, the pulling down the strongholds of sin and Satan. And my friend, D.L. Moody overheard Bali saying to Henry Morehouse, the world is yet to see what God can do with a man utterly consecrated to Him. And D.L. Moody said, by God's grace, I'll be that man. And we know what happened through Moody. Will you be another? Will you be another? Will you tonight, my friend, in all sincerity say, by God's grace, I'll be another? Remember the other scripture, please. Ephesians chapter 12. Our armor is spiritual. All the spiritual warfare needs spiritual equipment. But then, last in this connection, there's the review. There is the review. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10. We each one must give an account of his or herself before him as we stand before the great judgment seat. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. Think of these words again. We must all appear before the judgment seat. My friend, this reminds me of the great review. And all your life and my life will be reviewed in that day when we stand before our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And all from the very moment we've been born again to the moment we meet Him shall be on review. The motives of our service shall be the great thing to be tested. And I say and I repeat, there must be only one motive, the constraining love of Christ. There must be only one objective, the glory of God. For remember, he will not share his glory with another. And oh, for a mighty baptism in all the love of the Lord Jesus, that love should have drawn our heart by the Holy Spirit himself. Remember the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through verse number 8, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, the crown. Saul, the Old Testament, because of disobedience, he lost his crown and his kingdom. But Saul, who became Paul, the New Testament, he would say, the time of my departure, my release, the unmooring, the unyoking, the unraveling, all the same Greek word, is at hand. And it's just my friend who asked me right to write in to the heavenly harbor. And with a great note of triumph he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, the crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. May I go back over that acrostic? The soldier is selected. He is obedient. He is loyal. He finds a danger to be faced. He must keep in step. Engages my friend must be entered into. I was in San Diego, California some time ago. Now I was ministering there on some of those great warships. Now I came across many of those Marines. Those cracked, I mean grand. I don't mean cracked up here. I mean those wonderful men, your Marines. Those men, my friend, were razor sharp. They've been training and training and training. And my friend were razor sharp, ready to go. They turned to me and said, Dr. Basil, we're fed up. We're fed up. We're razor sharp. We're ready to go. But there's no engagement. They're keeping us here, Father. We don't know. We want to get going. And friend, you've been here for some months and you've been recharged, supercharged. You've been reinvigorated. You've been energized. And if the Spirit's been doing His work in your heart, you too are just longing to get going, aren't you? You're just longing. If the Spirit's been doing His work in your heart, if the flesh had been operating, nothing's going to take place. If the flesh, nothing will take place, the flesh has been operating. And no matter how sound, how wonderful, how illuminating the word's been that you've been listening to during the past month, unless that word has been received in faith, it'll accomplish nothing. It'll never profit. But now because you're fitted, you're equipped, you're qualified, you're razor sharp, you want to get going, aren't you? You're on the tiptoe! And you're looking for engagements. And you know you'll find, as you place yourself at the Lord's disposal, they're all around you. They're all around you. And then the review. Oh, you know something? It may be this very night that we too shall be called home to the grand review, to the judgment of Christ. May it be yours. May it be mine to hear him saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, may we become men
and women, who shall be wholehearted in faith, giving rank in the energy of the Spirit of God. Until that day, and we shall hear the marching shout saying, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away far above the clouds." And your heart with my heart says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today." Should there be someone here, are you not in this army? In the mouth of 2-3 witnesses, every word shall be established. You've heard God's word of gospel tonight. And dear Christian, I'm more concerned about you than I am about the unbelievers. You know that? I love to lead souls to Christ. There's no greater joy, my friend, to lead souls to Christ. But I've got a deeper exercise of leading souls to Christ. What is that? Seeing Christ formed in the life of a believer. Seeing Christ formed in the life of a believer is far more to me than leading souls to Christ. You know why? For when that takes place, souls will be saved. There will be a reproduction of the life of Jesus Christ. May that be so as we sing together hymn number 257. My good brother Andy didn't know the very first hymn he chose, the hymn I had chosen to close with tonight, "Am I a Soldier of Jesus Christ?" He's done that once or twice, you know, but it shows the Lord is working. And may I just say here that if you're concerned about your soul, and you know, friend, you're living a defeated life because you're in a defeated army. You're already defeated, my friend. Don't go on in defeat. Come to glorious victory tonight by changing captains. And come to Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior. John, Mr. Willing, others, but don't be too happy to sit by yourself or even come to your home and point your fruit to Jesus Christ tonight. Friend, I urge you, I implore you, decide on Him's side tonight, will you? 257. Oh, for Jesus, oh, for Jesus. Now, I know this is rather a searching hymn, and in light of what we've been listening to, I trust it's real in your heart and mine altogether. Oh, for Jesus, oh, for Jesus. Beside, so enchained my spirit's vision
looking at the crucified. The last verse, oh, what wonder, how amazing. The last verse thoughtfully. Oh, what wonder, how amazing. Blessed Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that name ever prevails, that name in which every knee will bow and tongue confesses, Lord, to thy glory. We thank you for the privilege of being gathered together. We thank you, God, for the word of testimony, the lovely hymns that we've been singing together, and now for the challenge from thy holy word. Pray, O God, that not one, whether man or woman, will lead this auditorium tonight still in the ranks of the enemy, the ranks of the evil one, going down to perdition. But, oh God, may each one have come to the cross tonight, gaze upon the lovely man of Golgotha, and own him as our Lord and Savior, and come from defeat into victory. We commend the gathering to thee. May the quiet hush go with us. May the Spirit continue to brood over us and operate in us. And may we who are thine own dear children own him as sovereign Lord in every part of these lives of ours, and will give thee all the glory through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Amen.